What is going on, people? It is Wednesday afternoon. Brian Kamenetsky's filling in for Momo. All president accounted for. Lindsay, you're here?
Yep, I'm here.
Funch, you're here?
I'm here.
All right. Not with a lot of enthusiasm, but here. But here.
Here.
Yeah.
Attendance has been taken.
So, B-Cam, what's going on, man?
Nothing. I have questions. I have a lot of questions regarding tomorrow's competition.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like this hot dog eating thing. Like, in my head, because I heard Morales talking about, like, you and Alan side by side eating hot dogs. And then I remembered you can't be side by side.
No.
Literally. You can be
side by
side. We're
going to be side by side the way you and Andy are for your late night happy hour hoedown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In separate boxes.
Correct.
But my question is this. How do you guys standardize the hot dogs? Because, like, it's only a fair fight in a fair competition if you guys are eating the same thing.
Yeah. Have we decided any of that, Linz? Is any of that stuff worked out?
I think by the end of the day today, you know, if we don't have a sponsor lined up, then we're going to have to probably tonight during Crosstalk, we're going to have to establish a hot dog brand. That everyone's going to, you guys are both going to have to get uniform hot dogs and buns.
Yeah, they have to be the same. They have to be identical.
I shouldn't take this, by the way, as some like a worrisome sign that like sales came to you guys and like, look, times are lean. We need a hot
something.
Dog sponsor bad.
Yeah. No. This happened just organically because, you know, we hear about the hot dog eating contest every single year. Joey Chestnut's going to join us at 3:30 today. And, you know, I've got a history when it comes to eating contests. I just smoked Amanda in a donut eating contest. I ate 13 donuts in 5 minutes. Were you here for that?
I was there for that. Yes.
Yeah.
Saw it live.
It was a remarkable performance. If I don't mind saying myself, I even surprised myself. Now the hot dog eating thing is different because you got to do it the Joey Chestnut style. And this is the part that grosses out Alan Sliwa. And for me is going to be an advantage. I'm going to take that hot dog off that bun. I'm going to take that bun. I'm going to dip it in a glass of water. Then I'm just going to slurp it right down. Just all in one swallow, and then you chew up the hot dog. That's how you get through a lot of hot dogs really, really fast.
Now, let me ask you a question, because Amanda was, quite frankly, and I hesitate to say this about people
your
who,
boss?
Help decide whether or not I get to keep working there. She was an embarrassment that day.
She was an embarrassment.
I think we can all agree.
There was a lot of quit in Amanda.
There was. I mean, like the donut, the competitive donut eating, the proud competitive donut eating heritage that we have in this country was shamed that day. And, you know, so like, are you playing Alan here or are you playing like the concept? Like you will eat as many hot dogs, even if Sliwa is Brownian in his
okay. So you've raised an interesting issue that has been discussed at my house. So apparently, and I don't remember this, but apparently, after the donut eating contest, I was sick for 72 hours. Now, I don't remember that to be the case. It happened on a Friday. I don't remember being sick afterwards, but Juan claims I was sick. Now, do I go all in? Because I think my target number is 8. I think I can eat 8 hot dogs in 7 minutes and 10 seconds. Is my target 8 hot dogs, or is it
more than a hot dog a minute.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. Or is it just to eat one more than Alan?
Ooh. You know what this is? Remember when we used to have those debates about the Lakers? Are they going to flip the switch?
Yeah, flip
like,
the switch.
Like, what do you, like, are you trying to pace yourself for a title, or are you just trying to win today's game? Like I you know, because if you're really in it for the honor and the, you know, the spirit of it all, then you, damn it, you eat as many hot
dogs.
You
go all in. Exactly.
You go all in. Because that's what Washington and Jefferson and all of our other founding fathers would have wanted this close to the 4th of July.
Absolutely.
Or you just try to eat one more hot dog than Sliwa, but like, is doing something slightly better than Alan really a payoff for anything?
No, you make a really good point.
Is that what our country is founded on? Like, just do it a little better than Alan. Like, that's
well,
not
and you know,
value,
on the surface,
but...
Brian, if you think about this, what we do for a living here, we talk about sports, we talk about games when they happen, but this is really at its heart, this is the entertainment business. And mm-hmm. do I really want somebody to go out of their way and to log into their Twitter or go to their Facebook Live and watch me ho-hum eat three hot dogs and win 3-2 over Allen? I don't find that to be dramatic. I think setting that target, 8 hot dogs in 7 minutes and 10 seconds, don't you think that would be a major accomplishment?
That's less. It's a hot dog every 50 seconds or something like that.
Exactly
that seems
right.
pretty good to me.
You're damn right. And that's what I'm shooting for tomorrow night. I am going to be the entertaining one. Sliwa is going to sit there. He's going to eat a hot dog and a half and call it a night. Because you know what happens? If I lose, you know what I have to do?
What?
The rest of tomorrow night's show with Alan.
No way.
Yeah. So I am highly motivated.
Do you even know how to work after 6:24?
No, 6:24, I hit the door. Everything after that's a rumor.
I thought you turned into a pumpkin or something like that.
Yeah, no.
6:24.
No. So that's why it is incredibly important that I win, because I don't want to be, because Friday, I don't think any of us are working on Friday. Is that right? Friday's a day
that
off,
is correct.
Company holiday
Friday.
For
even,
the.
We're even taking the late night happy hour off.
You're taking late night. Are you taking your Saturday show off, your 4th of July show?
No, we're doing the 4th of July, but we're taking Friday night off.
How is the new Kamenetsky Brothers Saturday morning happy hour?
It seems to be a hit. I mean, as far as we can tell.
I only hear the Dr. Clapper part.
Yeah, that's important. We don't get the same kind of metrics. We can't measure what happens on the actual radio in the same way that we can measure what happens on the nighttime show. Like, we know.
Isn't that crazy? You can tell the exact number of people that watch your late night happy hour hoedown.
Right. Like, I can create a very detailed list of all the people who drew a bigger audience than you did.
But I was one of the trailblazers. I was one of the first guys there.
It's true. You were. And I feel like if we brought you back, you could boost that audience, because now we're like a phenomenon.
A phenomenon? Yeah.
Of sorts.
Yeah. So do we have any word on Dwight Howard? That's kind of the news of the day. Is Dwight going to say, yes, I'm in, or yes, no, I'm out? Or is he going to make any statement at all today? We don't seem to know.
Yesterday when we were on the call with Rob Pelinka, today on the call with Frank Vogel, both of them indicated that the decision hasn't come yet. And the only deadline Dwight has missed is the one that in theory allows him to withdraw and still get paid. If he says, I'm not going to go in a week, then, you know, the Lakers, I think, are scheduled to go on the 9th to Orlando. If he decides on the 8th, he's not going to go. The Lakers can still replace him. The only difference is Dwight, in theory, doesn't get paid for the rest of the season.
Wait a minute. Then what's this July 1st deadline? What is
the deadline,
this day?
It's a deadline for a player to withdraw and inform his team that he's not going and still get paid.
Okay.
If you wait until after the deadline, you don't collect any money. But Dwight doesn't make very much money this year. It's prorated for like 8 games, plus, I guess, his playoff share. And he's made like $200 million or whatever it is over the course of his career. So this should not be a financial choice for
right.
Dwight Howard. And it isn't. So losing out on the money doesn't really matter.
All right. Frank Vogel, as Brian mentioned, did a conference call or a Zoom call earlier today. Here's what he said about Dwight Howard.
Yeah, we've been in communication with Dwight the whole way, with supportive phone calls and text messages. And, you know, we don't know what the level of participation is going to be yet. He wants to play. We're hopeful that he's able to join us. He has an extenuating circumstance that he's working with the league on in terms of what that is ultimately going to look like. But we're hopeful and optimistic that he'll be able to join us in Orlando.
So hopeful, optimistic, but it's not a lock. Now, if he were to not go for some reason, knowing that Avery Bradley is already not going, mm-hmm. I think the Lakers would be severely handicapped going into the playoffs. Do you agree?
I completely agree. Like, they can replace Avery Bradley with some combination of KCP. Remember, they went 17-3 with KCP in the starting
KCP
lineup.
KCP and Caruso.
Caruso. You get a little more Danny Green here and there, and you play some different lineups. And you're like, no, you're thin. You're vulnerable at that point because you don't have a lot of guards anymore. But assuming nobody else gets hurt, you know, Avery Bradley didn't function as a point guard, really. I mean, he's short, but he's not a point guard. So that part they can replace. Losing Dwight is really changes the way that Frank Vogel can put his lineups out. It changes their defense in significant and damaging ways that, you know, you can't just replace him with a little more JaVale McGee or Anthony Davis at the five. He adds so much structure, Dwight does, to what they do on that side. And particularly with this kind of quick restart, the communication defensively, the rhythm you have on that side, it's going to be vital. And so losing Dwight, I think really does change the championship math a little bit and not in their favor.
Yeah. I honestly think it will be very tough to beat the Clippers if they don't have Dwight Howard. And by the way, Lou Williams is also hanging a little bit in terms of his decision whether or not to go. Again, it was sort of the same thing from the Clippers today. He's likely to go. He's probably going to go. We're optimistic he's going to go, but there's been no final word on Lou Will.
Mm-hmm. I think he's one of those players, too, that's waiting on details about, you know, what's the league going to do? What does it look like in Florida? I mean, we try to boil all of this down to one thing. He doesn't want to go because of protests for racial justice. This guy doesn't want to go just because of family. But the reality
family,
is
right.
There's probably three or four things that enter into the equation for every player. And, you know, maybe they're thinking about the protests and maybe they're thinking about family. But, you know, if Florida gets considerably worse over the next week or so, maybe that's something. Like, there is a legitimate health risk because nobody quite knows exactly what the long-term effects are, Steve. Like, Rudy Gobert said the other day over Twitter, or in one of those conference calls, I think it was, with Jazz, he's still feeling the effects of coronavirus.
He doesn't have a sense of smell back.
Right. Which probably doesn't matter as much for basketball, but generally speaking is useful.
Although, let me just take a step back from that, because we had this conversation. Of the senses,
right,
that's the one you would give up, right? If you had to give up one of your five senses, smell is the one you give up.
Doesn't smell, like, if you can't smell, you can't taste.
No, I don't think that's true.
Oh yeah, a lot of things.
No, if you hold your nose and put food in your mouth, you can taste the flavor.
Not as much. How does smell impact taste?
Because you can't give up touch. Touch, you'll just be cutting yourself all over the place.
Right. You're bumping into things. I mean, you know, you kiss your basketball career goodbye at that point. I mean,
Correct.
That's done.
And sight and hearing, no way. I need my sight and my hearing.
Yeah. I mean, because if you don't have your hearing, you won't know when people are talking about you.
Correct. And you know I love that.
You're right. Ultimately, messages about taste and smell converge in the brain, allowing us to detect the flavors of food. So if you get rid of your sense of smell, it impacts your sense of taste.
But don't you think smell is the one you give up?
I don't know. But if I can't smell and it eliminates my sense of taste, if I keep my sense of smell, at least doesn't that let my brain think that I know what the food tastes like, even if I can't actually taste it?
So you're basically losing two senses for the price of one.
I think it's the worst deal to eliminate smell. Yes.
Yeah, but touch, hearing, sight, you're not giving up those three.
No, those are off the table.
Right.
Absolutely off the table.
So it's either smell or taste, and I would take my chances with smell.
I feel like there may be some gaps in my understanding of this. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not totally positive. I've covered everything that you need to when really considering this.
Yeah.
So at Cam Brothers, if I'm missing something, this is a fascinating question, though.
Oh, it is. I don't know why we got started of it for exactly for this reason. By the way,
Rudy Gobert,
one of our salespeople just texted me. I have a CBD client, trying to see if I can take them to a to the next level of advertising. I know you're CBD friendly, interested in endorsements. And I fired back within 15 seconds. Yes, count me in.
What if you got a like a recreational marijuana guy for the hot dog eating contest? That's a natural one.
That really is. that would be a benefit for as a competitor. That would be a performance enhancing drug, actually.
Yes and no. Well, yes and no. Yes, because it gives you the munchies. No, because it slows you down considerably. You're not getting high and then eating 8 hot dogs in 7 minutes.
You're right. You're just not motivated enough.
It's like, these are delicious, man. I'm just going to keep it. Oh, but like, whoa, time's going so fast.
Man, that dog is so good. What's Ezekiel Elliott like to say?
I'm low-key faded, bro.
I'm low-key faded, bro. All right.
How many dogs is Slee on?
Coming up next for you, Frank Vogel on J.R. Smith's signing, and also a conversation about how to replace Avery Bradley. That's next for you. Mason in Ireland, Brian Kamenetsky in for John 710 ESPN. Yeah. So Brian Kamenetsky is right, writes Lenny White, Carl Black. I believe that is officially the Twitter handle. BK is right.
It is a Simpsons reference, yes.
Close your eyes and hold your nose and drink Coke and a 7-Up. It's hard to tell the difference. So apparently the sense of smell and the sense of taste, they are inextricably entwined.
Mm-hmm.
So I still give up the sense of smell, which I would argue I don't really have much of one. I wasn't born with a great sense of smell.
You're no terrier.
I am not a terrier. Not a terrier. All right, so there were a couple of conference calls earlier today, and we'll get to some of that. In fact, Frank Vogel, the Lakers have made it official with J.R. Smith signing today. Here is Frank on the signing of J.R. Smith.
I haven't had a chance to work with J.R. yet. I did speak to him, but it was on just a welcome to the team type of basis, type of conversation. We'll get into all that when he's fully acclimated and able to be with our team, in particular when we get down to Orlando. And in terms of what he brings to the table, just the experience factor. I mean, this guy's a big time player. He's proven it over the course of his career. We know he can help us. We almost added him earlier in the year when we added Deion Waiters, and now we have the luxury of having both. We're not going to ask him to come in and be Avery Bradley. He's going to come in and be J.R. Smith. He's going to, just fill that position more than fill that role. Avery's loss is obviously a huge loss for us, but we're a next man up team. J.R. is going to help come in and help fill that void, but we have a lot of guys in that position that will do the same.
J.R. has knocked down a lot of threes in NBA Finals history. I think fourth all time in terms of three-pointers made in the NBA Finals. But he's been off the court for a while now, Brian.
I am of the opinion that if we have to find out how good J.R. Smith is in these playoffs, things have probably gone really, really poorly. Hopefully any time we get to see him, it's because the Lakers are up by 15, whatever it might be. And you can get him in there and throw some rust off. This though, Steve, whether it's him or Waiters, is where these 8 games really are handy for the Lakers, because they have almost a 0% chance of losing that top seed in the West.
Yeah.
So you can let JR play in these 8 games.
Although, is that what you want to do with these? Is that what you want to do with these last 8 games? Or do you want to tune up the entire machine?
I think I don't know. I'm not sure they're mutually exclusive, because they're going to, you do need to know what those guys can do. And you're not going to get much time in that training camp to be able to do it, because it's such a kind of a weird setup. So, I mean, you don't want to spend all the time on Smith or Waiters or whatever it is. You do want to have, you got to get the rotations with Bradley out of the lineup. You got to make sure those are really
KCP
dialed in.
And Caruso, KCP and you Caruso, get those guys rolling through.
Little Quinn Cook, Danny Green. How are you going to, Jared Dudley might have to play a little bit more. Like, there's some stuff in there you got to figure out. But you do want to know, like, can JR, Waiters at least has been an NBA player this year. JR hasn't played NBA basketball in 2 years.
Well, and when we say he was an NBA player this year, I think it was, wasn't it like 2 weeks?
Right.
I think it was 2 weeks, and then he had the bad edible on the flight. And
which we've all been there.
Yep. Trust me. I have been there.
And, you know, but like, he's younger. He's been around. He's been better when he's played. It's been a few seasons since Smith was a genuinely effective NBA player. But it's not like there were 30 guys on the street that the Lakers could have gone and signed that were better. So you just want to see what you have.
Okay, so here's what I don't understand. I was talking about this with Lindsay before the show. So today is this deadline that we're waiting for Dwight Howard to say, yes, I'm in, or no, I'm not. This deadline really isn't important in the sense other than whether Dwight gets paid or not, right?
Correct.
If Dwight says, no, I'm not going in a week, the Lakers still have the opportunity to sign somebody to replace him or to use somebody from the G League squad, which is probably more likely, right?
Yeah. I think, like, the problem is it's like, you know, the guy that has been a really good rebounder with the G League and the two-way contract is Devontae Kaycock, but he's only 6'8". So, like, you really would need another true center. And I don't know where you find that guy.
Yeah. That guy's not on the street right now.
No, certainly not anybody that would be even kind. I mean, maybe you go and you find the guy with the best defensive reputation in the G League or whatever it might be, but then you got to figure, you know, he's still not going to know his teammates at that point. That's why what you were saying before, Steve, about why Dwight would be such a big loss is 1,000% true, because you just can't replace what Dwight does defensively.
Yeah, not replaceable. And I would argue that Bradley is a bigger loss than people are taking into account. Here's Alex Caruso on replacing Avery Bradley.
Obviously, understand Avery's decision. You know, we're brothers in arms throughout the whole season, and anything to support him and his family, I'm 100% going to do. If I had the same scenario, I'd probably make the same decision. As far as basketball goes, got to fill his role. Might not be with one person, but, you know, this team's done a great job all year when guys have been out of stepping up and filling a role or a need, whether it be Bron missing a game or a guard being out for a couple games with injury. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be the sole provider of everything that Avery did. That's a lot to ask for just because of how good he is at what he does. But I'm definitely going to be ready to fill part of that gap.
Brian, are you hearing everything?
Yeah, I can hear. No, I heard that. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think Avery Bradley is, you know, particularly because of his defense, is not going to be easy to replace. I mean, that is a vulnerability now for this team, defending some of the smaller point guards in the league.
It is, but the good thing about it is the Lakers have a lot of experience playing without him and a lot of success playing without him. So, you know, the guys who are replacing him, KCP is a tenacious defender who can pick up a lot of people, and Caruso is one of the better, you know, statistically one of the better defenders in the league at that position. So you lose depth and you lose some shooting. Like, Bradley was really shooting the lights out over the last five.
He was. He scored. Did he score 18 in that game against the Clippers on that Sunday?
The Clippers. Yeah, it was. Yeah. He was really good. And so, like, he can be that guy who steps up every few games and provides a little scoring that you don't expect and all that stuff. I worry more about the depth issue because it just seems like this thing that they're about to go do, some weird stuff is going to happen. I'm not even talking about COVID. I mean, injuries, soft tissue stuff, and all this, because it's not normal. And whenever you ask guys to get out of their routine, right, whenever you guys have to get out of their routine, weird stuff can happen physically. And so,
yeah, I mean, these
Bradley's
8 games,
a depth loss for nothing.
These
else.
8 games are going to be really weird because they're going to be some combination of preseason along with kind of tuning up the machine, along with playing back into basketball shape. I mean, there are a lot of things that are going on where I think these 8 games are going to be very tricky.
Yeah, and the quality is going to be, it's going to be hard to tell what lessons to take out of anything. We asked Howard, we had Howard back, Andy and I did on our show Saturday, And we asked him, like, what do you expect from this restart? He's like, terrible basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that makes some sense because in a normal off season, guys aren't together, but they're playing constantly. And this one, most of the league, they haven't been playing. And so it's going to take a little time for them to get back into rhythm and look like NBA players and NBA teams. And so even these, you know, the, for what the Lakers amount to, tune-up games, preseason games, whatever you want to call them, I'm not sure how much you're going to be able to take out of those going into the playoffs. It's going to be really, really weird.
Yeah, yeah. All right, coming up next for you, as you may have heard, and if not, you'll be hearing about it a lot, there is a hot dog eating contest happening tomorrow night at 6:15 here on all of our social media. It is me versus Sliwa. And when I think hot dog eating, I think about the grand champion of all eaters, Joey Chestnut. And he will join us with some tips coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. When the framers of the Constitution sat together and charted the future of this great nation, they decided that hot dog eating would be an excellent commemoration of our independence. And joining us right now is the grand champion of eating all kinds of stuff, Joey Chestnut. Joey, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Good to be on with you.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. So I don't know if you know the situation. I'm doing a competitive eating contest tomorrow night at 6:15 here on 710 ESPN and on all of our social media. It is most hot dogs in 7 minutes and 10 seconds. Now, I'm an amateur. I don't have the long resume that you do. But I did once eat 13 glazed donuts in 5 minutes, which was pretty good, I think. I think that's pretty strong. What do you think?
I think you're selling yourself short. You've been eating since birth, and you just got to remember that it follows the feeling, and you work when you're tired, and you're able to push past that bad feeling of tired. You just have to push past this little feeling of full, I saw that somebody was like taking like, oh, will you get over 10 hot dogs? I was like, 10 hot dogs, he should be able to do 10 hot dogs. I think you could do it.
Joey, what do we do in this situation, though? Because you're actually wrong. Steve does not work through it when he's tired. Steve actually stops working when he's tired. He takes vacation.
He has a job. I was hoping I was right. I was hoping he worked through it.
What's plan B?
Plan B? Just have to stay calm. Stay calm. Find your happy place. Find your happy place.
And, that he can do.
And just keep eating like you were in the beginning. And so, hopefully time flies by because it really sucks when it's going really slow.
Joey, it's impossible to do this well without dunking the bun in the water, right?
You could probably do it about the same. The most I could probably do is about 50 hot dogs if I wasn't dunking the bun in water. But dunking the bun, it adds quite a bit more. It allows the bun to go down faster. So I'll be eat probably around 70 plus. So it adds a lot on me for me. For you, if you're comfortable and the wet bun nauseates you, I would say don't do it. I would take a bite of the hot dog and bun and then a sip of water, chew, take a sip of water and swallow.
Oh, you would. You wouldn't if it's disgusting, because I think it is disgusting. You would just not worry about...
Even for me, the wet bun is disgusting. I hate eating hot dogs that way. It's not like I like eating a wet bun. I had to train myself to get over the wet bun and visualize it. It's no longer a bun. It's a sip of water that looks like a bun. If the wet bun might slow some people down, but if you're... I think if you think it's going to slow you down, just take a sip of water to help swallow. But if you think you're going to get into competition mode and not worry about these little things called feelings, you should do a little bit of work on it.
So, Joey, what is your hot dog eating record?
My record, 74 in 10 minutes, hot dogs and buns.
Now, you're going to try to surpass that this year, and I understand it's being done at a secret location. Normally, it used to be at Coney Island. How's it going to work this year?
Yeah, so we used to be at the corner serving Stillwell on Coney Island. It's still going to be at Coney Island. They don't want us to tell, say what building it's going to be in because it's just they don't want any crowds to develop. But it's going to be in a building there, and we are eating indoors this year, no crowd. It's going to be weird. Some years the crowd pushes me to a record. Some years I feel like garbage, and they help me keep pushing. But we'll see. I'm trying to get a record. It depends. Some years I'm hoping because they're less eaters this year. They're going to be so they're cooking less hot dogs, and they'll be able to make them all cook just perfectly and taste delicious. So I'm hopeful that they're going to be good dogs and fast dogs, and it's going to be fun in this weird time. We're just going to try to make it work.
You know, that's actually a really fascinating part of this that I had never thought of. Is it like, is there one guy who cooks for everyone, or is it like a home run contest where you get to bring your own pitcher?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. They're cooking them for everybody. There's two, okay. 6 foot grills going and two guys working them. And some years when it's super hot, I feel sorry for those guys. But at the same time, they get kind of, I wouldn't call them lazy, but they're trying to cook them too quickly, and they undercook some of them when it's a hot day. So I'm hoping that they're cooking them nicely, and we'll see. I even though I'm a competitive eater and I eat a lot of food, I still love good food, and the good tasting food makes it a lot easier to eat a lot of it.
So I'm looking at your list of conquests: 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes, 5.9 pounds of funnel cake, 47 grilled cheese sandwiches in 10 minutes. All of these things. Where do they all come from? Do you just decide, okay, I'm going to try a new food?
No, usually it's not me deciding. Usually there's a sponsor. For every food, usually there's a sponsor that says, "Hey, we want to get host a contest, or we want to establish a record." And usually they want me at their event, and I usually do pretty well. Every year I lose a couple contests, but I have a pretty good win ratio, and I have like 50 something records.
How do you train?
Yeah, I mean,
how do you train right now?
Yeah.
Do you, you're between contests. Like, what should I do between now and tomorrow night? Should I eat a lot? Should I not eat a lot? Should I just eat normally? How do I get ready for tomorrow night?
Yeah, I would eat. Today would be a pretty good meal for you. And drink lots of liquid today for the rest of the night. So a big meal, lots of liquid, and not just drink liquid like not like 3 gallons throughout the day. That would be better if you just did like half a gallon as fast as you can. You want to get those muscles used to stretching really quickly. And then once you get them to stretch quickly with water, then you can translate it to food. And then, so I would eat food, drink water quickly. Tomorrow, go to eat really light and drink water. And then for about 3 hours before, 3 or 4 hours at least for you, you should be eating nothing and maybe just a little water or coffee and get amped up with some coffee.
So for 3 hours leading up to, don't eat anything and drink just very little.
Drink very little and then take just a little bit of coffee and maybe a little bit of sugar just to get amped up, get excited, and then just, yeah, turn it on.
All right.
For me, it's like I it's pretty much the same thing except like magnified. Like I did a practice contest. A little bit of a practice contest yesterday, and then now I'm recovering, and then I'm trying to eat salad, lettuce today, and then Thursday and Friday will be a fast all day, and then Saturday will be the contest.
And what do you think the right number is for me? I mean, I'm an average guy. I don't normally participate in eating contests. What's a good number of hot dogs for 10 minutes for me? 7 minutes and 10 seconds for me.
7 minutes, 10 seconds. I think, yeah, you should be able to get close to 10. Maybe not.
Wow.
I think eight would be expected for pretty much any adult.
For any normal adult, yeah.
So, if Steve only manages to eat five, he's healthy. Like a little child. Yeah.
Yeah. I
like the use of should and not could there. That's a very strong word choice.
Yeah. I mean, you sound like a healthy person. It's really not that much food. It's just a little bit different. It's a different scenario. I think the weirdest thing for these contests is eating in front of people in a way that is so unnatural. Like,
right.
You go to restaurants and you never imagine eating fast in front of people, but it's just weird. Right. And all of a sudden you're on the spot.
I do have to disagree with you. Only somebody who once ate 384 gyoza in 10 minutes would think that eating 8 hot dogs in 7 minutes isn't a lot of food. Like that, I feel like your job has sort of skewed your perspective on these sorts of things. That's a lot. That's 8 hot dogs in 10 minutes is a lot. 7 minutes is a lot of food. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I mean, you got to understand, we came from hunter gatherers. We feast and famine.
Right.
We should be able to eat for a couple of days in one sitting. And think about it, if you weren't able to eat fast, somebody else would come take it.
Yep, you're absolutely right. We were born to eat a lot.
This is very natural.
Yep. All right. Hey, listen, Joey, thank you very much for all of the advice and the input here. And we wish you good luck in trying to beat your record of 74 Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes this coming Saturday. And I think Mike Golic Jr. is going to have the call of that event. So we wish you luck, too.
Oh, thank you so much. Hope everybody has a good 4th of July.
Great. Yep, you too. All right, there's Joey Chestnut. What did we learn?
I learned that if you only eat like 3 or 4 hot dogs in 7 minutes, you're like a little toddler. you're a small child. You're not an adult.
He's making it sound way easier than it is.
Way easier. I learned a few things. I learned that Joey Chestnut has an amazing ability to sort of play mental games and convince himself of things that
yes.
are just patently false.
It's not a lot of food. You know, 74 like, hot dogs. Not a lot of food.
It's not a lot of food.
We're a hunter. We come from a hunter-gatherer culture.
Right, that's a good point.
When early man took down the wild hot dog,
he ate them all
one time
because you never know when you're going to see another hot dog.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
I wanted to find out if he's horrified by any of these things that he's like. Is there like Ireland will read anything for money?
Yes.
You know, like is there anything he won't eat for money?
It's a fair question because somewhere on that list is brain tacos.
Tacos that was had to be sponsored. You know, some of these things
had
are obviously
be.
Sponsored, like the one about like the Pizza Hut or the Twinkies or like
yeah,
White Hut asking to do that.
White Hut hamburgers.
But like so at this point, Joey Chestnut's not eating all that for free. Like if you want Joey Chestnut to eat 150 of something, it's got to come with a check.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
Who can blame him? It should be.
Have you changed your strategy now after hearing the water theory that he has?
Okay, so here's what you'll hear when I go for that first hot dog. I'm going to take the hot dog out of the bun. I'm going to dip the bun in the water, and then you're going to hear.
So ooh. Gross.
That's the worst sound I've ever heard on the radio.
So nasty.
That was disgusting.
Sounds like Mason eating his lunch during breaks.
It's definitely going in the water. I've got to beat Sliwa at all costs. Can you imagine what it would be like to lose to Sliwa at something?
Here's the thing, though. No, I can't. But, like, well, I picture Alan eating either, like, 1.5 hot dogs and quitting or eating, like, 13.
I was going to say, he might shock you.
I don't think there's a middle ground here.
I agree.
You really think there's a chance he could shock me?
Absolutely.
Small one, but there's a chance.
Steve, what have you guys been doing to him for the last, like, 3 months?
Just coaching him.
Every single day.
I would call it coaching.
Okay, well, I don't think that's the word he's been using.
Yeah, I would say coaching.
Okay.
Coaching him up.
But this is his chance at revenge. Showing you know, like, this is it, man. To defeat you and humiliate you in the same way that you guys have been going at him for weeks.
You mean our coaching sessions?
You guys are like Drago and you killed Apollo in the ring. And now, like,
if he dies,
Rocky's flying to Russia to take you down.
Yeah. All right, tell you what, coming up next. Do you have any idea what the over-under number is for Dodger wins this year? Over-under number for Dodger wins.
I have a guess, but I
okay.
don't know.
We'll take your guess next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. Are we going backward now with this corona thing? Is that what's happening? L.A. County now to shutter indoor dining at restaurants amid coronavirus spike. So I guess that's going on. Did they shut anything else down,
forward.
Or is that it? Am I still allowed to get a haircut
rooms,
this week or not?
I think so.
Anybody
card
have any
rooms.
Answers for me?
As of right now, I think you're still allowed to get a haircut.
Okay. Coming up for you at 4 o'clock, Jesse Rogers is going to join us, ESPN Major League Baseball reporter. So, Brian, over, under, Dodger wins in this 60-game season. Let's not say over, under. Just tell me what you think it's going to be.
I think 39 is a
Do
good
Do we have
number.
Brian?
She should.
Did
should
I lose
be
him
there.
Again?
Oh, there he is.
Can you hear me?
I think we got you.
Again.
Yeah. No, we
okay,
got you.
I'm back.
Yeah, we got you now.
I will say 39 feels like a good number.
39 feels so close. Now, I know you read the article beforehand, so you
yes.
actually know the answer, but you made it slightly wrong so that it would seem as though you hadn't read the article. Do I have the thinking right?
That is more or less accurate.
Yes.
Yes.
So the correct answer is 38. At least according to Vegas, 38 and 22 for the Dodgers during this sprint. And as you look at the other teams, I think the Yankees are at 37.5. That's the best in the American League. Elsewhere in the National League, the Braves are at 33.5. The Nationals at 33. The Cubs at 32.5. The Reds at 31.5. And the Mets at 31.5. The next team in the division, the National League West, behind the Dodgers, is Arizona at 31. And what do they have the Padres? Padres at 30.5. I think both those teams are really close. If there is a surprise, it'll be one of those two teams. I really like the young core that San Diego's put together. I think Arizona, see what they got left in Madison Bumgarner. They still got Robbie Ray. Ketel Marte was an MVP candidate last year. They've got good young sticks. So I think those are the two teams that the Dodgers need to watch out for. But I think it's going to be a perilous road to the playoffs, Brian.
Well, I just think it's – the good news is – those two, like the gap between a team like Arizona and San Diego, when you look at over-unders and things like that, to have in a 60-game season, to have a 7-game gap in expected over, that's massive. That tells you what people think about the quality of those teams. But the problem is, like, you know, one injury, one weird thing that happens. And I don't think we know how to quantify what is going to make a team good in a 60-game season where spring training is short and the rules are different. And I was like, I don't trust the math this year.
Well, I think injuries are going to be everything, because if you strain an oblique, or if you break a wrist, or if you, frayed labor,
those are the only two injuries.
There are many other injuries, but you can miss an entire season. That could be it. It's all over.
Well, if you have to miss a start, like because of something, that's, well, 10% of your season gone, like right there. You know, but it's so. I mean, just every little thing is going to be magnified, and I don't know what's going to happen. Like the Dodgers have had stretches where they played 500 ball for 20 games or 30 games, and then what separates them from everybody else is then they can win, you know, 30 out of 40. And pull ahead of everyone. But which section are you going to get coming out of that tiny, weird spring training?
Well, Scott Miller was with us the other day, and Scott pointed out that in the last 7 years, Dodgers win the division. Only twice did they lead after 60 games.
Right. That's a good one. The Pirates had like the third best record in the National League last year after 60 games.
Yep. Yep.
They were
exactly.
garbage.
And this is why I will go back to it over and over again. It's going to be tougher for the Dodgers to win. That's why I don't put an asterisk on this season. Don't believe asterisk.
It's not that I don't believe in the asterisk, but I do think it will be underwhelming for Dodgers fans because you go from 1988 to now, and like this is the year you finally win. They'll take it. Dodgers fans absolutely should take it, but you know, like you weren't in the stands when they win, and you don't get the parade in the same way. It's like it's like, come on, of all the championships to win, Dodger fans are going to definitely want another one after this that feels more quote unquote real. It's not that there's an asterisk like the Dodgers didn't earn it. It just, I don't know how it's going to be as satisfying.
Because once you get down to the playoffs, so you've got, you got to get through a 5-gamer, you got to get through a 7-gamer, you got to get through a 7-gamer. It's the same path once you get in. And it's going to have the same luck of the draw, crapshoot sort of element to it that it does every single year, where a team like Washington can get off to a terrible start, win the wild card game, and all of a sudden win the world championship. It's going to have that same quality that it always has, but getting to the playoffs is going to be the tougher spot. In 162 games, I would say, yeah, Dodgers are lock. 162 games, all that talent, they're in the playoffs. I can't say that for sure with a 60-game schedule.
No, absolutely. The Dodgers, you can say this. Their versatility and their talent gives them an advantage because if somebody does get hurt, they have more good players that they can put in there. Another team loses a good player, they might be cooked because they don't have depth. They have more versatility to play the DH and play the different lineups and do all these other things. But it just, you don't have enough time for your advantages to really play out. Like a team like San Diego, if they get hot, Arizona, if they get hot and guys play over their heads for 6 weeks, that can be enough to keep a team and keep them around when maybe they shouldn't. If, Cody Bellinger gets off to the same slow start that he did last year, Justin Turner struggles with injury at the beginning of the year, like he did last year, all of a sudden the gap just narrows. It's going to be really hard to win this year. It's just like the basketball playoffs. I don't think anybody should feel it's diminished. I just think it makes it that much harder to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't understand the people that say the NBA season would be an asterisk because they've already played, 69 games. They're going to tack 8 on. And the playoffs are going to be the same, rugged road that they are every single year. I don't understand the people that say there's an asterisk on the NBA. Because on top of everything else, it means you've gone through this pandemic, you went through this quarantine, you went through this shutdown, you managed to stay in shape, you managed to stay in physical condition, you were ready to go when the bell rang again. To me, it's actually, it's
harder. It's harder. Absolutely. This is the hardest NBA championship anybody's going to ever have to win. Like when you put everything together, I think this one is the hardest because of all the stuff you just listed.
All right. Coming up next for you, Jesse Rogers is going to join us, ESPN Major League Baseball reporter. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.